Hello and welcome to this broadcast of Come Let Us Reason. I am pastor, science teacher, and Christian apologist Dan Cody. The name of this broadcast was inspired by Isaiah 1:18, where the Lord, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, calls his people to reason with him. Not surprisingly, Paul uses reason to persuade the Jews and the Gentiles of the truth of the gospel. In Acts 17, we find Paul reasoning in the synagogue and in the marketplace with whoever is present. So in the upcoming weeks, we will seek to reason from the scriptures and from all that science reveals about creation in order to defend the truth of Christianity. We will consider the substantial body of compelling evidence that shows that the claims of Christianity and the gospel are true. The audio file of this broadcast can be downloaded at our website, www.multimediaapologetics.com. And now for today's program. If you are looking for evidence that Jesus is the Son of God, you will find it in the messianic prophecies that are contained in the Bible. Bible prophecy foretells the future hundreds or in some cases thousands of years in advance. This demonstrates that the Bible is from God, for only God truly knows the future. Certainly some people claim to be able to foretell the future, but if these people truly knew the future, one would think they would apply their talents to the stock market and rapidly become billionaires. One would only need to know the future 5 minutes in advance to quickly amass a substantial fortune on Wall Street. The apparent lack of psychic billionaires should cause us to question the credibility of those who claim to know the future. Nostradamus is held up as a prophet by some, but if you read his prophecies, they are vague and confusing and subject to being twisted to say whatever the interpreter is trying to prove. In contrast, many biblical prophecies are straightforward, as I think you will see in a moment. In the Bible, there are two broad groups of prophecies, general prophecies and messianic prophecies. General prophecies deal with Israel's fortunes and future, Jerusalem, the nations of the ancient world, and the events of the end times. Messianic prophecies deal with the coming servant of the Lord who would suffer and die as a payment for the sins of the world and later rule the earth. The word Messiah is from the Hebrew word that means anointed one. While there are other people that the Bible speaks of as anointed, there is a special individual, a great Messiah, who is to be the Savior of his people. The Bible is very clear that the Messiah is to be the Savior not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. The English word Christ derives from the Greek word Christos, which means Messiah. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Jesus is called the Christ because Christians believe that he is the Messiah of the Old Testament, who was anointed by God to bring salvation to the world. There are about 100 messianic prophecies. According to one mathematician, the probability that 48 of the messianic prophecies would be randomly fulfilled in the life of a single individual is 1 in 10 raised to the 157th power. Given the huge improbability of an individual fulfilling all of the messianic prophecies, we should expect that not even a single individual in the entire history of the world could have fulfilled all of them by chance. Yet Jesus Christ fulfilled all of these prophecies with the exception of those about his second coming, which are appointed for the future. This clearly identifies him as the Messiah predicted by the prophets and sent by God. Today, I would like to work through Psalm 22, which contains important messianic prophecies, so that you can see for yourself the amazing predictive nature of this passage. Psalm 22 was written by David approximately 1,000 years before Jesus was born. We are drawn to Psalm 22 because it begins with these words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" According to the gospel writers Matthew and Mark, Jesus says these very words as he is dying on the cross. It is as if Jesus, in his lament on the cross, points those who would read the Gospels down through the ages to Psalm 22, which contains a prophetic description of Jesus' crucifixion and suffering on the cross. In Psalm 22, verses 1-18, David writes of suffering he himself may have endured, for he cries out to God asking for deliverance from his enemies. But as these verses progress, David goes way beyond the events of his life, describing a death by crucifixion. Crucifixion was a means of execution not found in David's time. We see its first use hundreds of years after David by the Assyrians, Persians, Greeks, and Romans. Alexander the Great is said to have crucified 2,000 residents of Tyre who resisted his invading army. Verse 14-16 of Psalm 22 reads, "I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw, and you lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." In this passage, David describes prophetically the circumstances resulting when an individual is crucified. The individual described by David is dried up and in great pain. Evil men surrounded Jesus to put him to death. He would have been extremely dehydrated from the physical exertion of carrying the cross, coupled with the blood loss that would have occurred during the scourging he endured at the hands of Pontius Pilate. Scourging in Roman times typically involved the use of a multiple-stranded whip having metal or bone pieces at the ends of the strands. A whip of this type would have cut into the flesh, and the skin on the back of the victim would have been reduced to quivering ribbons of flesh, resulting in blood loss and extreme dehydration. 1,000 years before Jesus suffered these inhuman punishments, David writes, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw, and you lay me in the dust of death," which aptly describes what Jesus endured. The Romans, at the bidding of the Jews, executed an innocent man, so David's description of these men as evil is certainly appropriate. At the end of verse 16, David writes the most striking words identifying the subject of this passage as Jesus. David writes, "They pierced my hands and my feet." This is precisely what happened to Jesus at his crucifixion. All four of the gospel writers testified that Jesus was crucified, which in Roman times involved placing the victim on a wooden cross and nailing his hands or wrists and his feet to the cross, thus piercing his hands and feet and causing excruciating pain and more blood loss. Some skeptics have complained that the fact that Jesus was crucified appears only in Bible books. Since they reject the Bible, they reject these types of prophecies. The reality is, however, that the crucifixion of Jesus is recorded as a historical fact by Josephus, a Jewish historian. Also, the Roman historian Tacitus writes about 70 years after Jesus' death that Jesus suffered the extreme penalty at the hands of Pontius Pilate. The most extreme Roman penalty was, of course, crucifixion. David's prophetic insight continues revealing more details of the day of Jesus' crucifixion. He writes in verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 22, "They look, they stare at me, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." When Jesus was on the cross, the gospel writers tell us that the crowds gathered around, stared at him, and mocked him as he died a painful death. Meanwhile, just as the psalmist prophesies, after they had crucified Jesus, the Roman soldiers divided up his clothing and cast lots for them. The soldiers gambled for his clothing, just as had been predicted 1,000 years earlier. Clearly, the crucifixion described in Psalm 22 does not refer to an event in David's life, for according to the Bible book of 1 Kings, David reigned over Israel for 40 years and died a natural death. David in this psalm clearly is given a vision of a future personage, and the events that he prophesies are fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ during his first coming. In Psalm 22, David also prophesies events which will take place at the second coming of Jesus Christ. In verse 27 to 31, David prophesies a time when all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before the Lord, and a time when he rules over the nations. This is precisely the events prophesied to occur after the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so we see, 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, King David, a forefather of Jesus, prophesies events in the life of Jesus during his first and second comings. This is just one example, but given the clarity and accuracy of this prophecy, we must conclude that the Bible foretells the future, which makes it very unique. We will consider many more such examples in upcoming programs, but consider the following logic. Only God knows the future in clear detail. The Bible accurately predicts the future in clear detail. Therefore, the Bible is from God. It is impossible to explain away the large body of prophetic passages in the Bible. The clarity of these prophecies and the accuracy of their fulfillment should not come as a surprise to anyone who is familiar with the Old Testament. For God says through the prophet Isaiah, "I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done. God says that there is no one like him who can declare how things will turn out long before the events occur. God is in the business of foretelling the future. This is critical in understanding the divine nature of the Bible. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Son of God sent by God. If the Bible is the Word of God, as this prophecy indicates, we must take it and the teachings of Jesus very seriously. Friend, this broadcast is all about presenting the evidence and showing the truth of the Bible and the gospel message. Today we presented a single example of the messianic prophecy the Bible contains, which shows the Bible to be divine in origin. And if the Bible is divine in origin, we cannot ignore what it tells us about our eternal destiny. According to the Bible, one day we will all stand before God. He is a God of love, but he is also a God of justice. In his love, he has sent his Son and made a way for sinners to be reconciled to him. Because God is just, he cannot turn a blind eye to sin. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." According to the Bible, those who reject or ignore Jesus will be eternally separated from God in a very unpleasant place. God gives all who receive Jesus the right to become his children, but we must receive him. And receiving him means repenting of our sins, believing in him, and obeying his commands. If we love him, we will obey his commands. That is our program for today. Come Let Us Reason is the radio broadcast of Multimedia Apologetics. For an audio file of this broadcast and a book that defends the truth of Christianity, visit our website at www.multimediaapologetics.com. Once again, that is www.multimediaapologetics.com. You may also email us at clurtoday@gmail.com. We look forward to receiving your comments and questions at clurtoday@gmail.com.